Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
When you have the ability to create something, no matter what it is, whether it's like music or you have like a craft you do or a different hobby you like, I think it feels like you're doing something about it. You have an action towards that feeling that you're feeling, and it's really helpful. And it always, for me, because I've used it in that way forever, it always starts from a really personal place of like, I'm writing the song for me to begin with. And if I don't feel that song, then other people aren't going to feel it.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments, handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is also presented by Americana Vibes and the Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. I started preparing for this episode when I was on a summer trip with my kids in Colorado, which mostly involves listening to the music. I'll never forget driving toward Mount Princeton with tears streaming down my face, and I'll never drive up that road to the hot springs again without thinking of Alexa and her music. Her quiet demeanor hides an absolute monster of a songwriter. Vivid imagery, unique yet familiar, the way she relays the feelings around relationships is unlike anyone I've ever heard, on par with the brilliant Robert Ellis. We had a great time on the show. The music was so beautiful and moving, I had to include as much of it as I could. This episode was recorded live on August 24th of 2022.
And live from the Gray Eagle in Asheville, the Pearl of Carolina, it's the Travis Book Happy Hour. With special guests Alexa Rose and the Happy Hour House Band, featuring Julian Pinelli. And now, your host, Travis Book.
Thank you all so much. Thanks for being here for another episode of the Travis Book Happy Hour. My 26th, I believe, although adding is not my strong suit. It is really great to be here back at the Gray Eagle, and I'm so excited about my guest tonight, Alexa Rose. I've been hearing about her for a very long time, mostly from a dear friend of the Happy Hour, Mr. Tommy Marr, who usually joins us on Dobro. He's actually pretty upset that he couldn't be part of this show. He's on tour with his band Fireside Collective, but he's been encouraging me to get Alexa Rose down here for a very long time, and I'm so glad I did. Once I started digging into her music, I was really, truly blown away, and I know that you will be too. I'm going to start out the show like I always do. I'm going to play a tune or two. I'm going to talk about something that's been on my mind, and then we'll get Alexa out here. But thanks again for tuning in. Those of you tuning in at home, we also appreciate it. But we're especially fond of those of you who came out tonight. Thanks for being here.
Can we live together without pain? Burdens at our doorstep, burdens in our heart, it's time to let them travel and lay them down. From the tallest mountain down in the lowest valley, we're all asking and we want to know why we're climbing. And tell me why we're falling. Tell me where we're going. Yeah, we want to know. Rise, sunrise, rise, sun. Rise, we've been hoping there's a new day coming and it. It's not promised, but it's all we know. Can we quantify it? Can we try and name it? Try to fight it while we hold it close. Rise, sunrise. Rise, sun. So
I was going to say, you know, I've had some interesting interactions in the last few weeks, and something that keeps coming up is a question of, like, of how we see other people and their actions and how we allow that to affect us, and a sort of a larger question about behavior modification. Like, do we change people, tell them how we think they should be, or do we just accept them for who they are? And, you know, obviously, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a parent. I may not act like one, but I am. It's surprisingly easy to become one, turns out. Obviously, as a parent, part of one's role is as a behavior molder, you know? I'm here in part to help shape who my children become, to offer suggestions about how they do things, how they relate to people, how they behave. Obvious to me, at least, though, is that also at some point that role changes, and at some point my opinions about how my children should be becomes much less relevant. In fact, it may be even at some point irrelevant. I've discovered also, as a child of aging parents, that at some point it seems to me to be useless to try to get people of a certain age to change. It only really causes friction and separation. A 75-year-old who smokes, for example, how much good is it going to do for one to set up an oppositional relationship in order to change that behavior? What good does it do? And really, anytime you're giving someone feedback on how you think they should be, whether they're your child, your parent, your bandmate, or coworker, or your partner, there's gonna be some rub, and most likely some separation, because inherent in that vibe is that you're not okay, and it would suit me better if you were other than you are. If that makes sense. So when I get this vibe from someone, I find it extremely off-putting. I don't know if you experience this too. Maybe some of you find it helpful, but generally speaking, I'm just not into it. And while I have a reputation for offering my opinion, my band has from time to time called me Opinion Man, almost like Superman. And I'm like, Opinion Man! I own that. Amongst other undesirable nicknames, they've got lots of awful nicknames for me. I do recognize that my opinions generally only increase the overall sense of separateness, and they don't really bring me closer to anyone. They don't bring me closer to the people of whom I have an opinion, and they don't bring me closer to the people who are hearing me offer those opinions. So do we tell each other what we think of each other in an effort to improve each other, or do we accept and love, sometimes growing away from people whose behavior makes us uncomfortable? And if I make you uncomfortable, do I need to change, or do you need to chill? It's like being offended. Nothing is offensive in and of itself, anything someone says is just made up shit. It's not real and it's not tangible. It's just like sounds that we imbue with meaning, right? So if someone utters a sound that you find offensive, you can choose to get upset or you can let it pass through you. It's like entirely up to you, turns out. But in the same way, it's like the same way, like if someone has a behavioral tic that bugs you, you can try to modify that person's behavior or you can let it go. And, you know, you can tell me what brings us closer. I don't know. That's what I was thinking about this week. I don't know if any of that makes any sense. But I find it incredibly interesting. So thanks for listening. I asked Julian if he would play this song with me. I just spent a bunch of days traveling with my family and then again with the String Dusters on the road. And it was such a relief to get home. Such an unbelievable relief to come home, even if just for a few days. I've been having such a hard time. I need to hear you on the other end of the line. I want the cold wind to blow me back on down the road. I keep having the same bad dream. Wanna know exactly what it means. We're the ones that I love, they don't know that I've been gone. I wanna be back home. A drink and I might forget. Do some things that I might regret. But when I get to the bottom, I only feel more alone. I better head back home. Almost feel that warm summer breeze. Will it still be standing there? Will it be gone? To see the lights of the old town. Gonna dig my roots deep into the ground. Let the moss gather on this old rolling stone. It's good to be back. So glad you agreed to be on the show.
Oh my God, it's an honor. Thanks for having me. You guys sound really nice. I was just sitting right on the other side of that door, kind of taking a little mini nap, just listening.
Nice, going into a trance?
Yeah, going into a trance.
Pre-interview trance?
Yeah, pre-interview awesome. Trance, one of my many specialties.
Let's start with some of the basics. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Virginia in a little town called Clifton Forge over in Allegheny County, which is in western Virginia near Roanoke, if you know where that is at all.
I have some idea where that is. I too dabbled in living in Virginia.
You too dabbled. I dabbled in rural Virginia living.
What are some of your earliest musical memories?
Really ones I hated, like being forced to take piano lessons.
Common.
Yeah, common. I feel like growing up, I heard music. Nobody played music, but we listened to music occasionally. My mom made sure of that. But I didn't really develop like a deep love for it. And I didn't even really listen to music in a way that I do now, where I will hear lyrics and stuff, until I was older. But I think like my first love was singing. So I would just sing stuff all the time.
Like when you were by yourself, like as a kid,
yeah,
playing?
Yeah, definitely. Only when I was alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still try to only sing when I'm alone.
Yeah.
Or when, like, I've set up, like, this relationship here, where, like, I've made it clear, like, I'm going to sing, and if you're here, then you're here to hear me sing. You know, I don't just, like, walk around singing.
I don't,
like, sing for my girlfriend when she makes dinner or that kind of thing. I probably should.
I can't do it either. That's super weird, right? Like,
yeah.
I will only sing... Like, when I've had neighbors, it's like if a neighbor is home and all the windows are closed in my house, I won't sing near a window. It's like I don't want anyone to hear me.
Wow. You know, I definitely experienced that with songwriting. I cannot make up stuff if there's people within earshot.
Definitely not.
I just can't do it. I get, you know, any little bit of, like, self-consciousness seeps in and it just, like, derails the entire process.
Yeah. The knowledge that you are being observed is very... difficult to not be distracted by.
In general,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Being observed is not the most comfortable.
I don't know why we do this.
Yeah.
You want to just call it a night?
No, this is where the rubber meets the road. So no one was playing music around your house. Did you grow up in church, singing in church, or anything like that?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. No.
Yeah, so your family wasn't musical. You weren't growing up with it as a huge part of your life. How did this?
Well, I don't know that I don't do it to me personally. Like whenever someone says what you just said, it's always like such an incredible validation to continue writing and making music. So thank you for that. And I think that what has allowed me to be so vulnerable with the lyrics I write in particular, which I always think that they're not that specific and not that personal, you know,
sure.
but then I see how they are and how they can feel that way to other people. I think that maybe because I started writing songs from a place of like not really considering it as a career or like a something that I was going to go out and present to other people. It was just like something that I started doing one day, and I go through seasons of doing it or not. Mm-hmm. But when life has been shaky, that has always been the most relieving thing I could turn to. And when you have the ability to create something, no matter what it is, whether it's like music or you have like a craft you do or a different hobby you like, I think it feels like you're doing something about it. You have an action towards that feeling that you're feeling, and it's really helpful. And it always, for me, because I've used it in that way forever, it always starts from a really personal place of like, I'm writing the song for me to begin with. And if I don't feel that song, then other people aren't going to feel it. it could probably be about anything, but if I didn't feel it, I don't think that other people would be able to access it in the same way, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Can we play some music?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you illustrate what we're talking about? That's sure. Alexa Rose, everyone.
Around Clearwater Park. time's going off at 4 a.m. And I guess it's a new year again.
Thank you so much. It's really just such a joy to play music with both these guys. I'm so glad we could all get together on this night and do this. It's pretty amazing that Travis does this every week. It's a lot of information to absorb. I don't know what kind of supplements you're taking, but if you could share that with me later.
Trade secret.
What?
I said it's a trade secret.
That's fine. I don't want to know. I don't want to hold that much information in my brain.
Three quarters.
I've lived in Western North Carolina for probably 8 years or so now, and have spent most of that time in Asheville. So I recently moved back up to Virginia, but it's a really precious place to me, in particular this venue we're in right now, the Great Eagle. So hope y'all will keep coming out and supporting them. I wrote this after I left a show here one night, just a show I came out to, and there was a guy busking over there playing fiddle, and he just like lit everything up. It was really nice. And whoever you are, thank you. It might have been you. No, I don't think it was. This is called Haywood.
Alexa Rose, do you mind if I ask you a few more questions?
Not at all.
Yeah, okay.
Let's keep talking.
Yeah, just a little bit. There's some more things I want to know.
I really like this. It's like you get a little break off your feet.
Yeah, you like the stool?
Yeah, I like the stool.
You know, you can keep the stool for the second set if you want.
Maybe I will. I don't know.
Trying to remember who it was that sat on the stool the whole time. Was it Chris Jacobs sat on the stool the whole time?
Somebody remembers.
So, you know, one of the things that really strikes me about you is your voice. It's incredible. And, I mean, like, it's really amazing. And so many singers, and I think myself included, we can come across like we're, like, trying to do something. Like, we're trying to sound like something. Like, we're singing at it as opposed to just being it. But I don't really hear any of that in your singing, and I think it's just, like, so rare. I probably know the answer to this, but, like, when did you realize that you had a unique voice? And did it take you a long time to come to that place? Like, was there like an impersonation phase?
Oh, definitely. And I don't really know. I don't know if I can remember what, but I know, like, yeah, I think that for everybody there is, because that's like how you, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
And at first my response to this question would be like, no, or I don't remember it, because I feel like I was so insulated from being influenced by people. But that's not true, because, like, you know, I listened to, like, mainstream radio. I was, like, a musical theater kid for a long time. And so definitely, like, I tried to mimic what I heard. And before I started writing songs, I was just singing songs I had heard, so I would be trying to mimic that.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel, I feel like I have a lot of limitations with my voice, and I feel like the songs I write and the way that I sing is totally just based on, like, what makes me feel free and comfortable. And I think I learned at a certain point, like, wow, a lot of the songs are styles that I really love, that I would love to be able to do. I can't do those, but here's what I can do, and here's what feels good and feels freeing for me to do. And so when I find those things, I try to, like, move towards that direction. And find whatever that is. And I think that's sort of like how that has progressed into me learning how to sing and write songs that I felt comfortable singing.
That's really cool. I think it takes a lot, for some people it takes a lifetime to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, you know? Like, when I was 13, I would have loved to just nail Jesus Take the Wheel, but it did not work for me. I can't do it.
No, you're destined for I would say bigger things, but that you can't really quantify that.
No,
sort
you
of
can't
thing.
Quantify
but you're like you're
but,
destined, you've got your own, like, you've got your own mission.
Yeah. And that comes from, like, that comes from spending a lot of time with yourself and, like, hearing a lot of different things and being exposed to different things and being like, oh, like, let me try to sing this song that's in a totally different genre instead, or
yeah,
or would feel good singing it.
Yeah. I still feel like I discover things about, like, I'll discover ways of singing that I'd never really thought I could sing, like, you know, like, stylistically,
yeah.
Like, I'll try something, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, getting to play every week at King Street and playing, like, different ensembles and different styles all the time, like, occasionally I'll stumble on something and I'll be like, oh, man, I maybe should have, like, tried singing more like, it's like, you know, like singing, like, blues, or singing more of, like, a rock style, or even, like, when I go to sing country music, like, doing my best Ray Price impersonation, like, unlocks things for me and helps me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I sound like anybody else, but, you know, you kind of go down these little rabbit holes and you're like, okay, well, that kind of works, or, like, that's not, definitely does not resonate with
definitely.
Me.
Definitely, yeah.
So you lived in Asheville for a while, as you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your best memories of living in Asheville?
Oh, my gosh. I moved to Asheville. My first experience living in Asheville was me subleasing, or not even subleasing. I was basically crashing at my friend Andy's apartment for a month while he was like out of the country. I had met him playing a gig with a guy, you know, John Trufant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So John and Andy and I had played this gig, and I had met Andy Farrell, my friend, who's another talented songwriter in town. And I said, I've been thinking about moving down here. And he was like, you should just rent my apartment for a month while I'm gone and see how you like it. And I just kind of hermited up. It was winter, I think. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of snowy. I would just walk around, listen to all the records in his apartment.
Nice.
And that's kind of how I ended up here. It wasn't really based on anything. I just thought, like, oh, it seems like a lot of people play music here. I think I'd like to try to go be somewhere where that's going on more. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bigger city than you were used to.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. Some of my favorite, Asheville memories. Definitely playing here. Playing here and coming to shows here. Still, like,
yeah.
Some of my favorite moments have been, like, on the stage or on the other side of it, for sure.
Yeah, I've had a couple of other guests that have talked about that, just about, like, the legendary, like, core memories, to use the parlance of our times, that they've had standing out there.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's one thing to be up here. We had an epic show. Like, the String Dusters' first ever sold-out show was here, and it was the first time we played, like, one of the early songs I made up, and this big part of the song that was supposed to be, like, the crux. It, like, the only time it's ever worked was, like, right here in this room. You know? Like, people got it that night, and it was, like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But even to, like, be on that side...
Yeah, absolutely.
Out in the audience here, and that's a common.
Yeah.
This place has got some gravity. So you moved back home.
I moved back home. Yeah.
What precipitated that move?
A number of things. I was touring a lot at the beginning of this year, and I had been just renting a place here, and I was never in it, and I think that, like, in the off time between being on tour, I was finding myself in Virginia a lot. I have an Australian shepherd named Emmy Lou, and my dear parents watch her while I'm not on the road. So I would end up just being up there anyway to pick her up and stay for a few days. And it just made sense to go back up there. Also because some people who are my family are still close together in that area.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a unique period in time that I could sort of take advantage of to just maximize my time with the people in my family who I love, who were all still conveniently around. And I thought that was just a really special gift that I should notice and take advantage of. So, yeah, that was the other half of the reason. And so all of that together just made sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. You know, and you're not far from Asheville, and it's always here. That's... Mm-mm. That was something that was really crucial for me when I moved away from Durango, Colorado. And I wrote a song about it. Like, I knew that, you know, while time moves on and things evolve, you can always, you can't, in a lot of ways, you kind of can go back, you know, which makes it easier for me to take risks and to take chances, knowing that, you know, that there is the possibility of backtracking, and you can sort of have faith in how things unfold.
Yeah.
You know, Asheville's still here. What does success look like for you?
I think just finding balance in my day-to-day life. I think, like, I really love playing music. I think that the lifestyle of playing music is, it's like, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it is challenging, and it can kind of, there are sacrifices you have to make where you can't really, like, have a day-to-day routine, like a lot of people, maybe you don't feel like you're able to build community as strongly because you're, like, not in your town. And I think, like, to me, it's always felt, it doesn't really matter where it is, you never know when it's going to feel good or not. Like, it could be in a bar with four people, or, like, the biggest show you've ever played in your life. And I personally don't really care which room it is. I just want the room to feel good.
You just want that feeling.
Yeah. And I think that comes from, like, being able to find balance to move through the day in a way where you can like pause and navigate what is happening right now and like how can I direct my energy in a positive way where this can be a successful evening for everybody.
Right.
So if I can spend my evenings doing that, then, and obviously they're not always going to go that way, but you know, yeah, that's like a personal goal for me, I think.
What is it, what in general, like what do you hope for?
I don't know. I'd like to buy some land one day. I
love that.
Have a little garden.
That's a noble goal. For sure.
I don't know. I mean, I hope for a lot of... What do you hope for?
What do I hope for?
Yeah.
I just want to be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people around me to be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
I want everyone to just, like... I just hope that we can all just, like, chill out a little bit. Because there's not a lot of chill.
So that's what I hope for too. Yeah.
I hope for some chill. But you know, land and a garden, it's the same shit, you know?
It's the same, yeah.
Get yourself some land, grow a garden, and chill. You can chill. Some CBD toilet paper.
Oh wow, is that a thing?
of course it is. I just made it up. Here's a big one. Why do you think you're here? What's your purpose?
Great question. I've been meaning to answer this for myself and all of you for a long time.
You can pass.
I don't know.
You can think about it on your own time and get back to us.
Yeah.
We'll do like an addendum to the interview. I'll post it on the internet. You can be like, you know, I've thought about it. I know why I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it has something to do with finding peace, like you say. Yeah. I think it's like what you hope for and what your purpose is. Maybe they intersect.
Yeah.
Just depends on how literal you want to be. Yeah, I do literally want some land.
That is like such a legitimate...
But I would love to feel at peace, and I would love for all of you to, everyone, and like the people close to us, too,
yeah,
to be able to like be present enough to foster that feeling within ourselves and those closest to us, hoping that we can extend it out. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to say that I think you can have whatever you want within reason.
Yeah.
And I think it's really reasonable for you to just want some land. That's legit.
Thanks.
It's like kind of the American dream. I would like to have more land.
Yeah. Because
I have like a quarter acre.
Yeah.
But
it's not enough.
But I would like, well, you know, I mean, it's
not
enough.
Not for rotational grazing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the cows can't stay on a quarter acre all the time, you know? So I got to buy the neighbor's yard so I can move them over there.
There's a tip link in the under the video.
Right. For those of you watching at home, if you'd like to contribute, you can tip us on Venmo, and all the money will go toward Alexa Rose Land Fund.
I'll split it with you.
Sweet.
I don't think Julian heard any of this. We just won't tell him.
No, if you asked Julian what he wanted, he would be like, I want to play fiddle.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you talk about being chill, dude. That you always got a gig with me, Julian, because you are one chill dude.
We love That's, Julian.
God, what a genius. I feel like he...
I know.
Like, he's got all the secrets. Maybe I should be asking him all these questions.
I think you should.
He's got the keys to the lock, man.
Julian, how much land do you own?
Can we come stay with you? Two more questions. Really, really simple questions, and then we'll get back to playing the music.
Okay.
What are you afraid of?
Loneliness and snakes.
Excellent answer. Probably the best answer I've ever heard to that. I think those are both universal fears. And then on the flip side, what is it that makes you happy?
Oh, man. The smell of lemons. Like when you zest them. When I'm having a bad day, I always keep lemons around. And you just go get one of those bad boys out of the fridge and zest a little, hold it up to your face. It'll just transport you to another world.
You just blew my mind. That's amazing. Happiness is a zested lemon. That's Alexa Rose, everyone. Let's play some more music.
Yeah.
Of landowners. Such a weird conversation.
That's the idea.
This is a song I wrote for my great grandparents who were farmers in Virginia.
See It's a hard lot of living to do. What are you dreaming of when it's all through? I got a feeling old as a stone that leads me to tending a dream of my home. And if I should never return Jordan Miles, question I know you don't want to hear, but I'm the heirloom at the mercy of the auctioneer. There's a crack in the finish, but it's easy to miss. Are you really gonna love me when it ain't like this? to the golden state. Oh, I wish I were kinder. Oh, I wish I were patient. Like the love and the songs on the gospel station. Such jubilee on the road to honeydew. Ain't a soul for miles but me and you. Such jubilee made you wanna sing along. Me, I'm waiting on the end of a real good song.
Thank you so much. Cool. This song is called Human. I get confused by this schedule. It's real intense.
I know, there's so much stuff on there, isn't it?
Yeah. But before we get too close to the end of this sheet of paper, I just want to thank Travis for having me again. It's been a real joy. I hope y'all will keep coming out. He always has such incredible folks on these shows, and it's been an honor to be a part of it.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to go downtown and look some stranger in the face. I wanna be myself again. Remember why I love this place. I wanna wake up now and squeeze the living from this day. I wanna believe truly everything's gonna be okay. But I'm only here. You tell me I'm a love to be overcome. I want to feel clean. Shiny new. I want to wash myself away. Feel I'm just a mirror before you. I want the glossy. A new leaf in the rain. I want a song. to be overcome. I'm moving through your love like a paddle in the sand, pretending that it's water. 'Cause I wanna be an easy woman, I wanna take a swim in some frozen channel to remember I was dying when I washed up gratefully over you. But I'm only human now. I'm as vacant as a drum. Won't you tell
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Alexa Rose, Julian Pinelli, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, and The Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.